Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Hi everybody, welcome to Kol Shmonach on this beautiful Sunday night, April 27th, right after Pesach. Thank you for being here. And Menachem thought it would be apropos after Pesach, after all the 30 pounds of matzah we all ate, to go straight into a Chazal diet, how to lose some weight. I think it's a very important topic. I'm very into it. As Menachem knows, got to be healthy, we got to be fit. So Menachem actually took on Mr. Reuven Kegel's program, and he's the one who's going to lead tonight because he's a participant, so he's familiar with it. So let's get started. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so first of all, I want to thank off tonight's Shir, Shir 228. And I first want to thank everybody for joining us every week and for promoting it and putting all the WhatsApp statuses and letting people know about it. And I say every week, whether the program's for you or not for you, you should post it, let people know about it, because you never know who's needs what and who's going to get chizik from it. It's a Sichas Chaverim, a place to speak through things. If everybody wants to join our WhatsApp chats, you can WhatsApp me at 732-314-1710. I'll add you to the community chats. I'll post the community chats shortly also on the Zoom chat. And if you want to sign up to the weekly emails, you go to menachemberfel.com. Sign up for the emails where he sends out the flyers of the speakers and the replays and all the information. For all the people that are watching this on YouTube, you can click on the subscribe button. And every week when Menachem uploads the videos, you can see the videos. They post usually Monday, 2 a.m. And you can click on the like button as well. Thank you to all the advertising sponsors, Lakewood Scoop here in Lakewood, Ellie and Ariel from 5Town Central, and Chayla Kalfin from JCN. Every Sunday night at 9 p.m. on this Zoom ID, we have different shiurim, different topics, different rabbanim, different therapists, and just many different interesting topics. And we try to cover them all. And tonight's going to be another very important topic, you know, weight. Weight is a big topic. So please join us every Sunday night. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a very, very amazing shiur with Rabbi Ben Zion Schaefer from the Shmooz. He's been on a few times. The topic is, we're almost zoomed in on the topic. We'll post it in Shem as soon as we clarify what the exact topic is. Please join us. Rabbi Schaefer is amazing. Anybody's listened to any of the shurim here, it's been, you know, he's, all the shurim have been really powerful over here. We're up to shir 228. And we're going to turn it over to Erno Yechfried. What is 228 Begematria? Negeh to tonight's shir.
Shalom Rach, everyone, to Zoom shir number 228. The Torah's timeless wisdom on healthy eating, discovering the Chazal diet. By following the Chazal diet, you'll be able to lose weight and stay healthy, which is a tremendous chizik in believing how true Chazal's words are, which leads us up to tonight's gematria of 228, chizik o amuna, strength in believing.
Shkoyach, okay, we're going to turn it first to Coach Menachem Bernfeld. Like I said before, Menachem Bernfeld is not only an advocate for the Chazal diet, but he's a member, he's familiar with it. So, Coach Menachem, what are we talking about tonight?
Oh, Shkoya. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to another Let's Get Real. Baruch Hashem, tonight we're doing number 228. And we have the source to have Reuven Kegel with us tonight. And yes, I've got to know him. And before we start, we're here after Pesach, and everybody with their Yetzias Mitzrayim, everybody with their mitzvahs, with their matzahs, everyone with their experience. I always say Pesach is a time that, you know, with family, things come up, you become aware. But we're not going to be talking so much about that. We'll be talking about the matzahs or the weight, but the way I like to look at it is not so much weight, it's more healthy living. But before we go there, I do want to give a shevach v'idah, baruch shem.
Kol HaLashon.
Talmoid. At this first, my son became engaged, baruch Hashem. So that's number one, baruch Hashem. And I wish everyone, they should see mazel and hatzlacha in their life, where they need to see it. So that's first of all. Second of all, very interesting and exciting, I put out a book. Now, not a typical book. It's called Come Home to Yourself. It's more like a pamphlet or a journal that you would want to have with you if you're on the journey. Not everybody is on a journey. Some people are just good. Some people are fine, like to read novels or the news. But if you are on the journey and you're searching, which many people are, it's an interesting book to look at. And you let me know your feedback. I'll put the link in the chat or the description for those who are watching in the, on the replay. So thank you for that, and I'm waiting to hear feedback. Shkoya. So tonight, we have this first to have Rabbi Kugel. Now, I would say, I wasn't looking for losing weight. That's not what I was looking for. What I was looking for is more to get some clarity, to eat healthy, feel more energetic, knowing what I'm eating. And even deeper, it goes to understand why am I eating. Many times you walk around and just you eat and you don't know what you're eating. You're hungry, you're not hungry. So when I saw the advertisements, I decided, let me try it out. And I could say, here I am, Baruch Hashem, with only positive results. I'm not going to say it's that easy. Many times I do feel hungry, but you become aware of what that feeling is. And you become aware of the emotional eating. And Baruch Hashem, I lost 20 pounds. Again, that wasn't the goal. I mean, there was a goal, but the goal was more to understand, you know, now I have a schedule. I know what's important. I know what's healthy. So that's really what we're going to be focusing tonight. It's more a conscious way of living. Now, many people would say, I don't want to think about the food I eat. I don't want to be busy with that. Just, I have so much on my head. I eat whatever I eat and that's it. Leave me alone. It does, you know, you go on to this diet, you become aware of, wait a second, what could I eat? How much? How much does my body need? What do I need? Why does my body still feels hungry? And there's a lot of talking to your mind, which I love, which is the field that I'm in. Understanding that, wait, you just finished a nice big meal. It was delicious. It was great. What are you feeling now? I don't know. I just need that pretzels. Whoa. You can get, you know, what's going on? So you become conscious. You become conscious of who is in control. There is something else inside of me that's just eating. And I don't know why. So you become aware of that. And then you learn what's important, what's healthy. You do feel more energized. But I would say, you know, it does take time. And I remember one night, I text Rabbi Kugel, I said, I'm very hungry. Could I have a fruit? And he's like, no. Take a cup of water and go to sleep. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. But I did it. So for me, the guidance was very important. The group that we were in. So we were able to post, to ask our questions, to feel, you know, the support that we have from one each other. So that's very important. So we'll get to see and listen to all the ideas back and forth. And if you have any questions, tonight is the time to ask. Rabbi Kugel is ready to answer our questions. And Mitzvah Shem, hopefully, the end of the night, we will feel that there is something out there that we can feel empowered, feel in control. And then eventually we can calm down knowing what do I eat and when I just have to find something to do. I might be a little bored. So thank you very much for being with us tonight, and let's get started.
Okay,
Coach Menachem, appreciate the Great. Opening. Okay, so tonight's topic is lose 10 pounds in 21 days, the Torah's wisdom on healthy eating according to the Discovering the Chazal Diet. I'm going to read Reuven's bio, and then we'll open it up. Reuven Kugel has been serving as a Kiev rabbi with Emmet Outreach since 2008, dedicated his life to bringing Jews closer to their heritage. In 2022, he expanded his mission by launching 21-Day Eat Like Chazal Challenge, a unique group coaching program that empowers from men and now women to align their eating habits with halacha. Blending Torah values with practical health guidance, Reuven has helped hundreds of Jews become healthier and more energized, both spiritually and physically. Now, 3 years later, he's working to bring the vision to the fit Jew to greater heights. And it's really an honor to have him here. And obviously, want to hear his concepts for Reuven. After Pesach, 35 pounds of matzah, a lot of cream cheese matzah, a lot of eggs, a lot of potatoes, a lot of starch. The oilam is here. You know, everybody's probably 10 pounds heavier. So let's go. Right. The floor is yours.
All right, don't forget about the special Pesach raspberry loaf that everyone loves. So anyway, first of all, it's an honor to be here. When Coach Menachem called me, said he wanted us on the program, I was super excited. What an opportunity, Baruch Hashem. And, you know, I don't know where to start. but basically I've been super passionate about helping Yidden for a long time. And I've been into fitness in my former life and in this life. And for many years, I was just like, you know, I'm fit. And I guess most Yidden don't like being fit because they're not. So then something happened in 2015. I saw an article in a business publication that said that around 85% of the machla is caused by poor nutrition. So I thought to myself, wait a second, we're davening for all these people to get healthy and we feel so bad for them. Meanwhile, these are like what they call like lifestyle choices. They could choose to eat another way and then all of a sudden be much healthier and live much longer. So at that point, I've been, you know, working with our wonderful CUREV organization, Emmett Outreach, in Queens and Manhattan, doing campus CUREV and more. And I was like, you know, maybe I have an opportunity to help Makarv the goof of the Frum Yidden. So I started doing some more research. You know, I learned how to eat healthy. And when I looked back into the Gemara and then the Shulchan Aruch, especially Siman Kuf Nun Zayin with all the Sukkuns by the Mishnah Berurah, I realized, wow, we had the right diet all along. So I realized internally that for a Frum man, a Frum lady to really have a lifestyle, then it has to stay in the Shulchan Aruch. It has to be coded in Jewish law. And we were able to really merge the science of eating well with the Seder for eating and the advice that the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah gives us. And we came out with the 21-day Eat Like Chazal Challenge, where 21 days anyone could do anything. It also takes Coach Menachem, as you know, 21 days to build a habit. Now, why 21 days? It takes 21 days for almonds to grow. And that's the fastest growing fruit that Hashem made from start to finish. So 21 days to form a habit. And if you could get 321 days, 63 days, then it's in your kishkas. So now with this concept, I said, let's go forward. We did a small, I remember we made a small ad. The Lake was scoop. It was just, I wasn't charging any money. I just wanted an experiment. They let me put in the editor said, is it a public service announcement? I said, absolutely. He said, okay, then no charge. So I put in a small ad in January 2022. I don't know who responded. I said, looking for 10 men to join the 21 day. I think it was a 14 day challenge then, but whatever it was, lose 10 pounds in 21 days. So I got 75 responders. All of them wind up joining. And I was like, okay, here we go. And the problem is, as we know, I would really rather not charge for this, but it is time. And on top of that, when people invest, when they pay some money, then they're much more apt to do it. So we really, what we're doing is we're telling people what they should be eating because there's so much misinformation out there about what's healthy, what's not. Actually, everything's like pump for carrot. You think fat is bad for you, it's good for you. You think rice cakes are good for you, they're horrible for you. Chop a can of orange juice, pure poison. So we're training people in what they should be eating. Then we use the methodology of Chazal to say when we should be eating. We allow everyone to figure out what Pas Shachris actually is. Breakfast happens to be an American invention. We have something called Pas Shachris. If you open up the Shulchan Aruch to Siman Kuf Nun Zayin, it says have your first Suda between the fourth and sixth hour, approximately, you know, around 10 to 12 p.m. Nothing about early morning breakfast or big breakfast or anything like that. So we have a concept in Jewish. We have lechem, bebeiker, basar, be'eres. We incorporate that also. And we give people, I always say, you have a seder to eating. The reason why people are eating at all times, they don't have a seder. If you don't have a seder, it's very hard to be good at something. So we give people the what, the when, and the coaching really develops everyone's why. So Coach Menachem developed the why. I guess you're having this existential conversation between the neshama and the guf. And you saw, your guf is, you know, losing to the neshama. The neshama is saying, no, don't eat. And then one time the guf's like, no, I'm going to get you. Then you had the wherewithal to text me. And Baruch Hashem, I was able to like push the neshama over the edge. Boom, that's it. Have some water. Go to bed. You're fine. You're not going to starve. You know, and there are times people are going to be hungry on this diet because any diet has to be something where you feel like you're missing something. And that's one of the most freeing feelings in the world because our ancestors for years and years and years, I'm talking about thousands of years, did not have enough food. You know, I was born in Kiev, actually. I remember my mother telling me that if they got a chicken, right, when she was a kid, if they got a chicken, it will last the family, five people family, it will last for 3 days. Because they, you know, they, whatever they did with it, 5 days, one chicken would last, 3 days for a family of five. And it's like, now we have a chicken lasts like an hour for one person. So the world we live in now, for so many years, we were starving, we were looking for food. Now we have to be saying no to food. It's a completely different mindset, but that's what we got to be doing, because it's not just about, you know, not being fat. It's much more than that. It's about feeling good. It's about living longer, and it's about having the energy to serve Hashem. So that's a little spiel about what we're doing. And is this the point where you ask some questions, Coach Menachem or anyone else? I'm happy to answer and give out as much information as I can. We have a website, www.thefitjew.com. If you want more info, we have a ladies coach now. She's doing great with the ladies. You can reach her at FitJewLadies. I'm sure we'll say these things later on as well. So we are here to help. That's us. At the end of the day, we're here to help. My goal, 100,000 fit yidden.
Amen.
With a show.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the poll questions and everybody's going to ask live, and people want to understand, you know, the diet and how it works in a little bit more depth. Okay. So let's go. Here we go. Let's first take a poll. Start with that. Hold on a second. One second. Okay, let's start with a 3-question poll. Here we go. 3 questions, everybody answer to the best of your ability. Okay, first question. When you hear the word diet, what comes to your mind first? Number 1, restriction. Number 2, health. Number 3, stress. Number 4, balance/self-control. Number 2, which best describes your approach to healthy eating? I follow a strict meal plan. B, I eat intuitively, listening to my body. Like right now, my body says eat a fruit, and my body says eat potato chips. Or number 3, I try to eat healthy but often slip. 3rd question, in your opinion, what's the biggest challenge when it comes to eating healthy? 4 possible answers. Number 1, lack of time. Number 2, craving for unhealthy foods. Number 3, confusion about what's actually healthy. Or number 4, social situations and eating out. Okay, 2 more seconds, everybody answer. Then we'll share the results. Five, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. So the first question, when you hear the word diet, what comes to your mind? 46% of people, the first thing they hear the word diet, they hear the word restriction, cannot eat. 15% of people, health, 4% stress, and 34% balance, self-control. So Reuven, the Chazal diet, when you hear the word diet, what's going to come to the people's minds?
First thing, health. Absolutely. So, mefarsh halacha, v'nishmartem.
Okay, 2nd question. What best describes your approach to healthy eating? 10% I follow a strict meal plan. 21% I eat intuitively, listening to my body. 69% of people, I try to eat healthy but often slip. I think this is where everybody falls into the same boat. The bottom line, we're eating healthy. We decide one day we're going to eat a good salad. We have even a piece of salmon. And then in the afternoon, we push away the one healthy thing. But then it comes supper, a little potato chips, a little salsa, you know what I mean? I think that's what we all feel. Reuven, what's your opinion on that?
That's really a tough one. So again, we teach people what to eat. So we are following a strict plan, but also where if people have slippage once in a while, we teach them how to get right back on the horse. So, and for sure eating intuitively, because people wind up listening to your body. Well, one of the things we do in the diet is we cut the sugar to zero, to not zero. And then you're able to actually listen to your body and stop the gut bacteria that's craving sugar and be much less hungry. One of the things that people notice right away is a lot of people, I don't know if Coach Malcolm had this thing also, but they eat much less than they were. Like literally like day two, I'm like, wow, I'm eating a third or half of what I used to. It's like amazing. I say, whatever you pay for the program, you save more in food.
You're saying just forget about the weight or the health. You're just supposed to save the money.
Yeah. Plus,
it's financial. It's a good investment.
It's a financial investment. Yes. And without a doubt. And
last question. In your opinion, what's the biggest challenge when it comes to eating healthy? 13% people lack of time. 63% of the people craving for unhealthy foods. 8% confusion about what's actually healthy. 60% social situations eating out. So by far, most people just, the cravings are out of control. We crave unhealthy foods, fatty, unlimited foods. Ruben, what's the story with that?
First of all, I love all four of these questions because then in our plan, we account for all four of them. People say, oh, I don't have time. I said, if you're eating now, you'd be able to eat like on my plan also. So if you have, everyone has time to eat somehow. So if you have time to eat, then you have time for this plan. Cravings for unhealthy foods. Once you reduce sugar and limit carbohydrates and increase fat and protein, you have much less cravings. Those foods are designed, especially in America, just to make you crave more. 100%, I start off saying, everyone thinks rice cakes and Tropicana orange juice and Frosted Flakes cereal are healthy. No one knows actually that like something like Gala is the healthiest thing you can eat. And social situations, absolutely. And we really count for Shabbos, Chasanas, other Simchas, Siyams, everything. There's a plan in every situation. So I agree. And also a lot of marketing and false advertisement makes number three pretty popular. All the things in number three I agree with.
Okay. Everybody here, I'm sure, could ask a particular question. So everybody feel free to ask, and we're going to jump into it. I have a lot to say myself. Very into health. I lost a lot of weight myself recently. Let's start off with Orit. You go first.
Hi, good evening, Chodesh Tov. This is Orit. Yes, I have a quick question. Hi. My question is, how does your diet plan and perspective, how does it correlate with or is it in sync with the Blue Zone diet? With the Blue Zones being, you know, Japan, Greece, there's Loma Linda in California.
That's an amazing question. So in my promo video, I say right off the bat, there's a lot of diets out there and maybe they all work somehow, but this is the Jewish diet. So I really don't care about the Blue Zone diet. Like it's irrelevant to me. Like, well, what do I care if some guy in Japan eats? Like I'm not following the guy in Japan for anything. So.
Right. So just to clarify, I'm not saying that they, live by a routine or a set diet, but excuse me, the superfoods and these foods that they are eating and following are right from our Torah.
Right. And we can eat them. You know, if Hashem made them, there's a great chance you could eat them. If they're Twizzlers, you're not going to be able to eat them.
Okay.
But and just, then, we have like our, I'm just trying to change everyone's mindset saying we have our own diet. It's not a caveman diet. It's right. Every diet, every like, you know, good diet out there. By the Goyim, they have to say, well, the reason why we're eating this way is because, you know, we've been around for a million years and this is how we developed. No, Hashem made Adam and Chava 5,785 years ago, and we haven't changed much since then. And the way we're eating is the way we should be eating all along. And just now it's become a problem because there's excess food, excess food and excess wrong food. So I'm sure all the concepts of the Blue Zone diet, we had them first in our Torah.
Got it. And then another, just a very quick question. Regarding fruit, fresh fruit in the morning, I know Rambam also has information on this idea of fruit being the first part of your meal or the first to enter your system at the start of a day. So I personally hold by the fresh fruit salad in the morning before going on to meals. I just wanted to know what your take on that is, what your perspective is regarding that whole fruit in the morning before the meals later on.
We have something in the morning called Pas Chakras, and fruit can certainly be included in Pas Chakras.
Okay, so you're saying that it doesn't matter if you're having the toast first, the egg first, the fruit, as long as...
I don't even know. I'm saying you can have fruit in the morning on our plan.
Okay, got it. Okay. Thank you so much.
You have to have fruit in the morning. You could have you could have a tikkun with some herring crackers and a l'chaim.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want, you could have fruit.
Got it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the question. A good Friday.
Okay, let's go to the next
one. I get the blue zone, I love it. You know? Like, someone probably made up the blue zone diet. We don't know how they eat over there, really. Okay. Next, are you calling on someone next?
Hi, how are you? All right, so I'm a retired, for 44 years, gym teacher, so in New York City. So I spend, and I'm not, this is the MS, 2.5 hours a day at the gym. I do a push-pull leg day, different muscle groups. I do cardio, and I stretch. So when I get home from the gym, I'm starving. So I have a salad ready, canned salmon. I have a smoothie of, you know, beets that the Geffen beets that I put in a smoothie with the ginger root, turmeric root, spinach, all that stuff. I drink, I eat super healthy, but the problem is one word, well, two words, and it's portion control. Because I'm hungry, I say, all right, I'm having a piece of salmon, but I'm starving, so I'll have 1.5, or, you know what I'm saying? So I'm, even though I'm eating healthy and I did exercise, again, exercise is good for cardio and of course muscle tone, but as far as losing weight, it's certainly 100% intake. But when I'm hungry, you know, it's the portion control, and I think I'm having a problem.
So what's your question?
My question is, if you're hungry at night, I tried the intermittent fasting where I stop eating at say 7 p.m.
So you really need coaching. Right, Coach Menachem would agree. So you need coaching. So we have an amazing women's program. You sound like someone that cares about your health. And this would be, you're a disciplined person. This would be so easy for you.
My health is the best. Well, I mean, I'm disciplined.
All right, fine. You're not a disciplined person. Maybe you need coaching in that also. But so you have 21 days. And the point is, just for 21 days, you could do anything. And you just follow the portions sizes, the portion limits that we give for you, and you don't eat after supper. That's it. That's going to be your last meal, and it's fine. And
how do you sleep if you're starving?
Well, that's where the coaching comes in. And like, honestly, I promise you will not starve. Actually,
I'm a good candidate.
You're the best candidate because you want
to. Where do I sign up?
You go to thefitju.com or
go to the local pizza store right by the falafel station.
No, I don't need pizza.
Sign up.
I do not
sign up
need
right
pizza.
By the falafel station.
You could, no, don't eat that stuff.
TheFitJew.com. You can email us there or go to the ladies part, which is FitJewLadies@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
This is Vinick. You're going to do great.
I want to add that the idea of how the mind works. You're telling yourself, your body is saying, I'm very hungry and I have to eat.
Let's just pause for a second, Menachem.
But I don't eat junk.
A lot of people are texting now. You didn't really say what the diet is. Explain the general concepts.
Thank you.
Somebody signs up with the diet. What is the program, the general concept, so people know what we're talking about? Just to say, eat healthy. We all know that. So Reuven or Coach Menachem did it. Whoever wants to go. We'll give the basic concept.
I'm going to say
a little bit. 21 days.
Reuven, you'll add. I'll say there's two meals a day, and that scares everybody off. I'm used to eating three. What do you mean there's two? So you start off with a post chakras. That's a little bit. It could be a little bit of carb, a little bit of protein. So post chakras just takes away that morning, you know, you just woke up, you want to eat. So it takes away that feeling. You feel, okay, a little bit satisfied. It's not a big meal. It's a small meal. It's not a meal, just a little bit. That keeps you going till the zman that Reb Reuven mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, that we start meal one. I personally do it around 12:30. And so you can do it at 10, 11, 12. It's basically meal one is later in the day. Now, meal one, you the plan that he sends out, it's really amazing. Tells you what you can eat. Real geschmack, a salad with protein, and you can even have carb. You can have two slices of bread. Like, wow. And that's the way it starts. You know, sometimes you prepare the food because I'm on a diet. After this, I won't be able to eat. So I'm preparing my plate with the salad and your avocado and your cheese and egg. And you're asking on the group, is this too much, too little? And finally you sit down. So that's where the conscious, you sit down, eat the meal. After half the plate, you're like, wow, I'm full. I don't have finished this whole thing. So that's meal one. And then comes, you know, snack. you know, there,
again, it's a small amount of food. So basically,
small amount of protein. There are different ideas of snack, but you know, again, you know what you're going to eat for snack. It's like not just grabbing something. You know what you're eating for snack. So that keeps you going till meal two. Meal two again, you follow what to eat, you know, no, potatoes, no carb at night.
Right.
We left have baboiker,
Left and baboiker.
Right. And after supper, after meal two, the kitchen's closed.
That's it.
Kitchen's closed.
And I tell everyone basically, and, it does necessitate that little bit of the coaching for most people. Not everyone. Some people are very disciplined. They could just write down what Coach Menachem said. They're fine. And that's great also. Most people need a little bit of coaching just to figure out how to do it correctly. And so, and I tell everyone, your body is saying, I'm hungry, but your mind knows you're not in danger of starvation. You fast on Yom Kippur. You fast on Tisha B'Av. You can do whatever you want. You're a Yid. You're strong. So what you do is just have some water or have some coffee or some tea or even some seltzer. And then that movement of something going into your body quells the body. And then the mind is like, see, you're going to be okay. And then you just move on.
And I would say today in America, I don't know if it's America, today's days, we're scared to feel hungry. We just don't want to be hungry. So we eat and we eat and then we eat a little more just in case. But what I found you put me in a place where I was okay feeling that little edge of like, maybe I should eat something. And I'm like, I just finished eating. I'm okay. But maybe I should eat something. Maybe you have that feeling for like 2-3 days and afterwards, like it slows down. Like, no, you're okay.
Right. Well, it's the effect it's having on people is beyond my hopes, honestly.
Also, it says, "Ein meratzon adam b'shas kasoy." When a person is angry, you can't go over to him and ask him, you know, could you please be mindful of me? I made a mistake. When somebody's angry, there's no one to talk to. The emotions take over.
Eat, 1 second. People are asked texting. A lot of people eat in the morning. Are you saying not to eat at 12:30? Is that what you're saying? Or people eat in the morning?
I'm saying, see, I don't have to say anything because if you open up Simon Kuf Nun Zayin Shulchan Aruch, it says your first Suda should be between the 4th and 6th hours. So I don't have to say it. The Shulchan Aruch says it. So,
You eat a little bit in the morning.
You eat a little bit. It's called Pat Shachris.
You eat something small in the morning and then the meal starts at 10 or 11.
Well, what are you eating at 8 o'clock in the morning? Somebody goes to work. People leave at 8 o'clock in the morning. What are they eating?
There's less than a kebeah's worth of food. This is, by the way, I just want to tell everyone, you're more than welcome to join the program. We'll give away like 95% of the information, but not everything on the show. So you have not a kebeah's worth of food, less than 2 ounces worth of food in the morning.
Could it be any type of food?
More or less. Probably not Twizzlers.
Okay. And then your main meal is around in the afternoon, you're saying?
Yeah, the main meal is in the afternoon. And that's the first suda. We have 2 sudas a day. By the way, why do we have shal sudas on Shabbos? Because like part of Oynik Shabbos is that third meal. It's mashma from that. It's implied from that. That the rest of the week, we have 2 meals a day. The three meal concept is, I believe, a Kellogg's invention. Although I can't prove that.
But what happens to people that they do a lot of physical work in the morning and it's hard for them to work without any food in their body?
So, who on the chat is doing a lot of physical work in the morning? You know, it says poilim should be in the 4th hour. You know?
Let's go into the general topic. The general topic is, the bottom line, the way to lose weight is obviously to cut your sugar intake, right?
Absolutely.
Are we talking about 100% cutting all sugars, or we're talking about, also we're talking about regular sugar, or we're talking about fruit, which is also natural sugar? What type of sugars are we talking about?
We're talking about, fruit is okay. We're talking about any, white sugar, corn syrup, honey, all artificial sweeteners, everything. We completely reset the person's palate. All these things are designed to make you hungry. Like Diet Coke makes you starving the whole day.
The bottom line is when you eat something that's sugary, you're constantly going to have that sugar craving and it doesn't end.
Yes. And a doctor explained to me why. It has to do with gut bacteria. And once you stop eating it, so in 2 or 3 days, those gut bacteria go away and they're taken over by the other gut bacteria that crave the good food and you don't crave sugar as much anymore.
But the same is true really for carbohydrates. When you do processed carbohydrates, eat cookies and cakes, you crave them more, the same thing.
Well, it has sugar in it, right? So we're not going to be having too much cookies and cake because that also has sugar.
Sourdough, challah, how's that?
Yes. I mean, for me, Sour Challah is very hard to eat because it tastes good. So I'll tend to have more of that. So, it's enough for me to like control myself with my wife's palate, which is unbelievable. So, but you can, we don't miss out on any mitzvahs. You have challah on Shabbos. You have challah for Yom Tov. Whenever you want to eat the things that Chazal want to see, we always eat them. But we don't overeat them. We'll have like a slice, you know, and that's it. The main thing I tell people, and I'll tell this to everyone out here, this information everyone knows, carbs and sugar are bad. Fat and protein is good. You know, it's just if you can even stick that into your mind, it's like it's already a huge difference.
Now, what about if somebody doesn't eat sugars, doesn't eat carbs, but they eat a tremendous amount of protein? They're going over their calorie daily nutrition. Let's say somebody needs 2,500 calories a day, but they're eating a bunch of, you know, a rib steak, and they're eating a lot of protein heavy, but calorie heavy food.
So there, a man did an experiment himself. He had for 30 days, 5,000 calories of just fat and protein. Okay. And after those 30 days, he gained 1 pound. Okay. Then the next 30 days, he had 5,000 calories of the standard American diet, 60 to 70% carbs and sugar, 20% fat and 10% protein, whatever it is, wound up gaining 16 pounds in the same 30 days. So yeah, you're probably not going to lose any weight if you're eating 5,000 calories of protein, but no one eats that much and people just aren't so hungry. We start a new group today and someone texted me, said, do I have to finish the dinner that you want us to have? I'm not even hungry anymore. So I said, you don't have to finish.
Let's go to another live question, okay? Hi.
Thanks, Sasha.
Hi.
So I had a question that I was asking Usher, and that's how the diet is different for women than it is for men, and what's the data that you have for women? The reason I'm asking is twofold. One, what works for a man does not work for a woman because we are not small men. And I recently listened to a podcast from Mel Robbins that she had Dr. Stacey Sim on, and a lot of what she was saying is actually contrary for women. What you're telling men to do is different actually for women and does not work, such as intermittent fasting and not eating before you work out. So what do you how is it different for women, one, and what's the data that what you're giving to women actually works?
I have my wife off camera nodding. So women are just like women are not small men, and men are not women without hair. So
I thought women were like partially men, no?
Like, I'm not sure.
The reason is a lot of the studies are information for men and just applied to women.
Right. So unfortunately, actually, to your point, most studies in America have been done on men, and then they try to apply them to women. They don't usually work. So we've coached about 100 women so far. They really have phenomenal results. It's for sure harder for them than for men. There's no question about it. They have much less food than the men eat. For sure, they're not eating as much food. We have 250-pound men. So if you have a lady eating that much food, it's not going to work well for dieting. So they eat less food than the men. But the mabe is pretty much the same. And do you know why? I don't know who you were listening to or whatever, but I didn't make up the mepe. We have a pasuk that says, lechem bebeker, basar be'erev. We have a concept of paschakras. So I didn't make these things up.
But I'm asking you, how does the diet differ for women?
I said there's less food. The main way it's different is there's less food.
There's less food. That's
especially
it.
But there's less bread, there's less protein, there's less food. There's less food for women.
Okay.
Do women in general need less calories than men?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, calories go by weight, you know, so meaning like a 200-pound person needs less calories, more calories than a 150-pound person. Then on top of that, men have a lot more muscle mass than women, and muscle mass is really what burns fat, burns calories. And so because of that, it's much easier for men to lose weight. I have guys on my diet, they start off, like in Menachem's group, some guys lost in 21 days 15, 20 pounds. You know, it's like, I mean, they were very heavy, but it's impossible for women to lose that much weight that quickly. It wouldn't be healthy. Also, I just want to promote our diet a little bit because the way we're eating, when you lose weight, it's not like you're an Ozempic and looks like someone like deflated you. Like you literally like lose fat. like, and your face becomes differently shaped. And
that's again, let's clarify. Diet that you're going to diet and you're going to a little bit exercise with it, because I did that, you're not going to look like you came out of like Ozempic land where it's just burning your whole fat.
Right.
And you look like this.
Right.
I look so great. I lost 30 pounds. But you look like, I don't want to say.
Call Halashon.
Right.
Okay. We have Reb Naftuli Tesler who wants to say about the Chazal diet. Reb Naftuli, unmute. Let's hear.
Hello. Naftuli Tesler from Brooklyn.
Okay.
And I just finished my fifth week of this diet. And I got to tell you, it really works. I lost 15 pounds. I'll be honest. In the beginning, it was hard. I had withdrawal symptoms, probably a week in or so. I'm not sure if it was because of the food that I changed or I stopped drinking beer. I used to crave beer and have a couple every night. I'll be honest over there. But other than that, it became easier. And then I think about week 3 or 4, we had like a 3-day max where we went we went strict. And after these 3 days, the regular diet was like a breeze. It was just the cider of eating, like a little bit. I typically had 2 square Shabbalon crackers with 2 American cheese in the morning, 9 o'clock. And that's when I prepared my salad, 2 bread. If I wanted to, make avocado salad or some that had whitefish salad, 2 ounces of protein together with my 2 bread and salad. The fact that I prepared the meal 1 right in the beginning of the day helped me. So let's say I was a little bit like hungry at 11 o'clock, 11:30. I was like, salad is ready in the fridge. I'll have it in a half hour, hour. It's typically 12:30. I had meal 1, and then about 4:30, I had a snack, which is either 2 ounces of nuts, banana, grapefruit, apple, or whatever. And then when I came home, 6:30, between 6:30 and 7:30, I had meal 2, which was protein, vegetables, and so on. I did run about 2 times a week. Today I actually texted Rebbe Kugel, if I could have a pizza and a beer, because I ran a half a marathon. And he's like, yes, but not because you ran a half a marathon, because you reached your goal. I started at 177 and I was 161 and a half ahead of Shabbos. So he's like, yeah, enjoy it once a month. Like my friends who I ran with had a party. So I wanted to enjoy that. But it was a really great experience. And after a month, I joined the alumni group. And for me, it was the community that really helped me. There was not even one thing that I ate, except Shabbos Yonkel, obviously, that I did not take a picture and post it on a group with 10 people. I remember even one night I texted on the group, I crave a beer. And a couple of other people came in, have a cold glass of seltzer, this, that, and other. So for me, I knew if I cheat on anything, it's going to be on the group. There was actually one time I cheated. It was Bedikas Chometznach. My wife was making potato latkes, like a potato knish or something. And the whole house was, smelling of geschmacka, fresh, warm, Pesach food. She had like a potato latke and I posted the picture. And Rebbe Kugel was, I think that's carb. I was like, it's the day before Pesach. We're working hard. So I really had fun with it. I enjoyed it. How I got to know it is my friend, Mr. Gottlieb from Staten Island, told me about it. He's like, the whole concept is eating healthy, having a Seder. But Milo, we're going to lose. That's the word to use. But Milo, we're going to lose weight. That was like probably not a year ago, a little bit less. I met him, like right after Peter Bachasana, and I looked at him. I was like, is this from the diet you told me about a half a year ago? He's like, yes. And I was like, if this keeps like 6-9 months later, you still look like that. I was like, I'm signing up tomorrow. And I joined a group of 10 people. It was really the community, the structure. I cannot recommend it enough. I run, I do exercise, and I tried many things here and there. And I feel like this, again, I'm only 5 weeks in. I just a week ago joined the alumni group, but I feel like this is sustainable. Just want to share my experience, or if anybody has specific questions, how I dealt with anything, feel free to ask.
My question, Ruben, is like this, is you do the thing. The problem I find is that when we get into this mode of no sugar, right, and then basically eating protein, our meals are very repetitive. So you're basically eating in the morning the same 2-3 options, right, and then in the afternoon's lunch, and then supper is either going to be a piece of chicken, a piece of meat, or salmon, Those are your three running themes that you're constantly going with. Isn't it difficult for people just to kind of, you know, you can't go to eat multiple, a lot of foods are like different sandwiches and different types of, you know what I mean? You're eating a lot of the same foods. Like every day is basically a similar food that you're eating.
We have a sample menu where basically anything a Yid could possibly want is on the sample menu, besides Twizzlers, of course, you know, or arugula or stuff like that. But everything, every real food a Yid would want is on the sample menu. And it's really, there's a lot of variety, and you can have so many different things. You always could eat things at Chasanas, and you can have, I love sandwiches. You know, you can have sandwiches. And sometimes, yeah, we have to say no to certain things. We can't, you know, we say no to a lot of things as Yidden. But most things you can say yes to. You may not be able to have a sandwich for your second meal because we have Basar Be'erev, but you can surely have a sandwich when we have Lechem V'Bleker. You can have a sandwich for your first meal. So I find that I'm really not missing anything. If I crave a sandwich or a wrap, I'm going to have one, you know, so because I can.
Become creative. And then when you see somebody else post, you're like, oh, that's a good idea.
Right.
Let me ask you another question. It's good. Everybody's losing 5, 10, 15 pounds. But what if the people that need to lose more than, obviously, if you're going to cut sugar and you're going to cut carbs, everybody's going to lose 10 pounds. I mean, common sense, right? The question is people that need to lose more weight, people that are 40, 50, 60 pounds overweight, are they going to shed that weight or it's the 10, 15 pounds that we're getting rid of by the simple of cutting sugars?
As long as you stick to the plan, you keep going. A bakshem, a lot of people that are down 50, 60 pounds. And they just keep going till they get to their goal weight. When you get to your goal weight, I give you your maintenance mode. And, Baruch Hashem, it works. You know, it's really
good. You've had people lose 40, 50 pounds consistently.
Absolutely. There's a recent guy, I told him, he started off at 250. I said, when you get to 199, I live in Passaic, I'm going to come down to Lakewood and work out with you. And that's exactly, you know, he made it right before Pesach to 199. I came down, worked out with him. It was perfect.
And it's more like a lifestyle.
What is exercise together with diet? Like, is it tied one to another or no?
The lady was saying, it's 80% eating, meaning exercise is important. But if you eat whatever you want and you don't watch what you eat, the exercise is for fallen. It's not going to be any good for you. So, exercise I highly recommend, but it's beyond the scope of what I'm giving over. I'm just training people how to eat according to Chazal. What happens inevitably is mitzvah, geras mitzvah. There's a snowball effect. There's momentum. So once people start eating better and feeling better and losing like pounds and pounds and pounds, then they inevitably they're moving more. They're exercising more. They're walking more. They're walking up the stairs. So it feeds on itself. Just like things go down, things go up also. You know, things.
What's the men's website again? What's the woman's website again?
Okay. So the men's website is thefitjew.com. I don't think we say W's anymore. Thefitjew.com is THIE. FITJW, thefitjew.com is the men's website. And the woman, the website is a shtickle under develop. We're about to go with a marketing group that's going to help us. But the woman has a, email that you can email to directly. Fitjew, FITJW ladies, LADIES, fitjewladies@gmail.com. Also, I have a unique, part of the diet. Like, since I am from the former Soviet Union, and I'm also a Kiryat Rabbi, so l'chaims are always welcome.
Okay. I think all men are into that. Okay, let's go to the next live question. Hi.
Hi, I have a lot of questions. This is very interesting to me.
Okay.
That's good.
I'm actually not going to start with that one. Does this help with people? Like, I would like to actually gain a little bit of weight. I feel like I'm a little bit underweight. Does it help for people who want to gain weight also?
He's saying you do exactly what he says with the opposite, so you should gain.
Are you familiar with the standard American diet? It's amazing for gaining weight.
No, I grew up in like a Whole Foods plant-based vegan household.
Oh man, I feel that's terrible. gaining weight is, I'm saying this way beyond the scope of what we're giving over, but gaining weight is very easy. Just eat 4,000 calories a day for a couple of weeks and you'll be fine.
I don't think I could do that. Okay. And I was wondering if when the person was asking about men and the difference between men and women, and you said it's just less food for women. Does that change for nursing mothers?
That's a great question. So first of all, we don't recommend that nursing mothers really diet per se, but it's, of course, if you're eating healthier, so then you are going to be feeding your baby much better. So what winds up happening is we tell the nursing mothers, just don't look at your weight. You're going to lose weight anyway because you're nursing. Just eat this way because it's the right way to eat. So mm-hmm. it's like a little knitch.
And are the portions?
We actually, I believe we give them the men's portions.
Right, that's what I was asking. Okay. So, and then.
We give the nursing mothers the men's portions because they need more food. I remember when my wife was nursing, so we'd have to give her 2 donuts a day just for her not to go, you know, below her normative weight. She really enjoyed that part.
And then I guess you sort of answered my next question already when you said that, that's terrible. So vegan is like not in line with the halachic diet.
Well, it said, I mean, it does say ein simchal bebasar of the ayin. So, you know, So I don't know why anyone would want to be vegan. They've done a lot of studies. It's not really good long term. So he said, lechem bebiker, bebasar be'erev. What's interesting about the diet is we're actually the first meal, you're a vegan. The second meal, you're carnivore. So you can still be vegan, at least for the first meal of the day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess I'll stop for now. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Sarah. Let's go to you.
Hi. I was wondering, this is similar maybe to what Arit was saying about these diets in places from other parts of the world. When you talk about a Chazal diet, do you mean specifically foods that were only the foods that were known in their time? Like nowadays, it's things that were, you know, later imported from the New World, like tomatoes, potatoes, you know, or just in our global society, we all different kinds of foods that was certainly unknown to our ancestors. Are you saying that we should just stick to,
So it's called the Chazal diet because we really follow the Zmanios, the times that Chazal want us to eat. Like Rav Menachem was saying, we have a Pashakris, we have 2 meals a day, not 3 is just for Shabbos. And also because the foods that the Gemara says that are good for you, like eggs and meat, so and beets, so we really emphasize those foods. And we also allow you that a lot of diets, you know, they say, okay, this is a great diet, you can never eat bread again. So that's not a great diet if you're Jewish. First of all, what do you do on Shabbos? Second, what if you want to bench once a day? So we have lechem abiker and basar be'erev. That makes it a chazal diet.
Yeah, but bread was known in fact that, I mean, you know, nowadays we have, for example, you know, I don't know, the macrobiotic, for example, the,
it's a simple diet. It's to the point. It has all the foods that you would have in your refrigerator. You don't have to go do any too much extra shopping.
Yeah. Or empty out foods. Just because rabbis saw, you know, they were not known
again,
in biblical or medieval times. Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying my motto is if the Chafetz Chaim couldn't have eaten it, so it's not Solon goats about 100 years ago, you shouldn't be eating it either. Meaning like he could have had a grapefruit, but he could not have had a Twizzler. It was not invented yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay.
There's a lot more live questions. Let's get into it. Okay. Give me a second.
People are excited.
Yeah, people are very excited. You join the program in 21 days, 10 pounds is coming off, right?
That's it. Yeah, or your money back. Yeah, we got to put our money where our mouth is. If you're
in your mouth, you can lose weight because there's no food.
Right.
Okay, you're on. Let's go. Hi.
I wanted to know, I'm missing, let's say, my colon and some other parts of my small intestine due to ulcerative colitis, and such a diet helpful for someone like me. I'm very sensitive to food, and after my last surgery, I ended up gaining a ton of weight, and I started suffering from cholesterol. It was like I gained after surgery 50 pounds in a few weeks.
Right. Wow. Oh. Okay. So first of all, there is like obviously an asterisk that I did check out the diet with a nutritionist. However, if you have any pre-existing conditions, like whatever you mentioned, you must go to your healthcare professional and just make sure that you can have, it's like really like a low-carb, high-protein diet. But I really would recommend, I don't know enough about your specific case. I'm a Kiruv rabbi, not a doctor, but I would recommend going to a functional doctor, even if you have to pay extra money, because the regular doctors it's not like they're bad people, chas v'shalom. They just don't have the proper information, especially nutrition information. They're still going off the 1990s food pyramid, which was made up and basically by the food and agricultural lobby. So I would just really find the functional doctor. They have ones in New Jersey for sure, and get the help you need. I'd love to help you. You know, hopefully this will work for you, but it sounds like you need a little bit more help than this diet, really. You need to make sure that you're eating the right things for yourself and that you're dealing with the right doctors.
I get it. Thank you so much.
Good. I want to clarify something also, is that when we're eating the fruits, right? I have a lot of fruits. I'm like very into fruits. Oh, you can't see them. My thing is blurred, but blueberries, oranges. Is there any like portion controls on fruits, or you can eat as many fruits as you want?
So that's a really great question, and it's often asked. So achilas gasa is never recommended, right? So there is portion control on fruits. So we have, fruits would be either a snack. It wouldn't be like a regular meal. So fruit would be a snack, and you get a fruit, like a grapefruit, an orange, blueberry, you get more than a blueberry. You get like a quarter cup of blueberries, a banana. So fruits are portion size according to the size of the fruit itself.
You're saying if I eat 18 ounces of blueberries every day, it's too much?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I love blueberries. They're low in sugar.
But for my plan, it's too much. But I'm saying there's other plans out there. We have blueberries about a quarter to half a cup.
Now, let me ask you a few other questions. From the people that have done your diet, like what success rate that people like kept off the weight?
Right, so that's a good question, because obviously, you know, people invest money, and this is the challenge. So we have...
I'm not talking about the people that do it, and then they fall...
Right. So we haven't come out 100% success rate, but that's a mistake.
The 10 pounds?
So, yeah, the 10 pounds, 100% success rate. But then, going forward, so it's hard to estimate this, but we have, like, well over 50% success rate. Like, well over. Because it's really like a lifestyle. And then some people fall off the wagon, they'll call me, say, hey, can I do another round, get right back into it. And that's what they do.
Do these groups stay groups, or are they break off?
Well, after the month is up, the groups are always live, because I always post like Yom Tov information, Pesach information, I'm on Coach Menachem information, stuff like that. So, it's just not active. We have an alumni group for people that about 20% of our participants go on to the alumni group. Some people do another round as well. But most people, they are comfortable doing it on their own and continuing.
Okay. Let's go to the next question. Hi.
Hi. When I've quit sugar in the past, I get a pretty severe headache. Is there anything to do to reduce that, make that like tolerable?
You know, we find that happens sometimes to people, but after the third day, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the other foods that we eat sort of account for that. But I've never heard anyone that had a headache. We really coached a lot of people, Baruch Hashem, that have had a headache past day three.
Mm-hmm. Also, I'm curious about the money-back guarantee. Like, what if I can't do it? Is it like the honor system symbol?
Saying like if you put in 100% effort and you can't do it, we'll give you your money back. So far, only one person has asked for their money back.
Well, out of how many people?
Like 100, like over 500 for sure.
Uh-huh.
By the way, there's some people that talk it, don't try. You're always going to have that in a group, you know, but out of the people that tried, they will like come out 100%.
How much does it cost?
Currently the price is $500 for the month of group coaching.
Oh,
wow. But again, you're going to save that in food.
Or you get personal coaching for $1,000.
Yes, you can get the personal coaching option for $1,000, which is more of my time, actually.
Yeah.
Zempic is cheaper, no?
So that's the funny thing is Zempic is $1,000 a month and people are like lining up to pay for that. And on top of that, you pay it every month. For me, after the first month, you already know what to do. And plus, if you go on a Zempic, what happens if you get off? You've learned no skills.
What happens when you get off of Zempic? It's like, I think 101% guaranteed you gain back the weight plus.
There you go.
So, guaranteed, because you lose your muscle mass. And then when you come back, your body is already immune. And then when you start eating the regular foods, you blow up like a beast. And I've seen it multiple times.
Oh, man, it's so bad. And then I don't understand. I guess people are just, it's so hard for them to imagine that they could actually do this on their own.
Actually, funny, I want to just address this because I have so many friends of different Zempics and Mounjaros. Like, the physical body pain that you suffer and the amount of money, and the only way that it really works long term, if you consistently are taking, whether you go on and off every month, or you're taking it straight and spending the money, and your muscle mass, you become like, you know, like skeleton looking.
Right.
It's great. Again, if somebody's 300 pounds and they're going to either have, you know, diabetes and, you know, it's real health issues, obviously choose your poison wisely. But for somebody that could lose and eat healthy, eating healthy is much more than just weight. It's your whole, it's your cholesterol, it's your sugar, your everything. It's like the whole package.
Right. Absolutely. And it like hurts my heart to hear that people are like paying so much money, even if the insurance is paying, it doesn't matter. And just to what? To sap their muscles and not learn anything? Like I believe the one thing that we have going for us with me coaching is that I believe in every yid. I know that if you're shown when to eat and what to eat, you will develop your why and your mind will be able to overcome your body. I believe in everyone that joins our program 100%. I know anyone that can fast 6 days a year and can eat strictly kosher, and especially the guys, they put on tefillin every day, they daven three times a day. Everyone does everything consistently. Well, you know what? That means you can eat consistently also. It's the same midah.
There's another thing. I just want to mention another thing. A lot of people don't realize that we eat, when you start eating healthy and consciously, we're so used to feeling the way we feel full. I'm talking for myself because I lost a lot of weight. Is that you used to eat like a lot of bread and a lot of sandwiches and you feel like your body feels like it's exploding. I can't explain you the feeling. It's a feeling of heaviness. And that's when your body's like, oh, I'm full now. I had two burgers and a steak and french fries and three cups of Coke, and you're burping from all sides and you feel good. I'm full. When you eat healthy, you eat a piece of meat, you're feeling your body's actually full, but your mind, it takes time to tell your mind, I'm actually full, but I don't have the bloated, I don't know, maybe the gluten. I don't know the right word to say that you feel like it's coming out from all sides.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And it's self-training. And then so the mind just takes over. You know, that's what we're giving. And by the way, most halachas like this, like if you, like, you know, being a kiyur rabbi, I'm really using the same skill set. Like if you tell someone, oh, Shabbos, you can't do this. You can't do that. So they're like, oh, I want to be on my phone 24/7. So, but then you show them what it's like and like, wow, I want that feeling. You know, I used to say that it's easier to help someone become Shomer Shabbos than help someone become fit. Why? Because we bring people to our home. We just had a Shabbaton with 40 people. Okay. They all kept Shabbos, all 40 of them, Baruch Hashem. They don't usually keep Shabbos. At the end of the Shabbaton, one girl, she didn't speak the whole Shabbat. So she stands up and she says that this is my first Shabbaton ever, and I want to commit to keeping Shabbos for the rest of my life. Why? Because she felt that feeling. She felt, wow, this is such freedom. I'm with Hashem. I'm like without my phone. It's amazing. So after a couple of days eating, like Chazal wants us to eat, like we prescribe. So you feel so much better that you're like, I want to keep that feeling. I don't want to feel bloated. I want to feel disgusting. I don't want to feel this way. I want to feel good. So I'm selling people on feeling good versus eating whatever they want.
Ruben, so somebody's on live, not to ask, but can I answer? Somebody's texting a question. I'm going to answer it. Okay.
Sure.
Somebody's asking, why is Tropicana orange juice pure poison? So can I answer the question? Is it okay?
It would be my honor.
Okay. So oranges, it's full sugar, natural oranges, but again, it's natural sugar. Orange juice, when you drink the liquid form, it takes away most of the actual healthy part of the orange, and you're drinking mostly the sugar. And is there added sugar in Tropicana oranges? It's just orange.
No. It's 100%. They don't lie about that. It's 100% pure oranges.
But when you liquefy the orange juice, it becomes like a basically a sugary drink.
It's worse actually. So it's fructose is the fruit, like sucrose is the white sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Is the sugar in fruit. Okay. So once that fructose is more than 3-4 hours old, so then it becomes toxic and it's actually worse for you than the actual white sugar. Tropicana orange juice sugar is like 300 days old, not 3 hours old. And you're drinking that. It's literally worse than regular sugar. And the same thing with grape juice.
Yeah. Know? It's well, like, they know that one of the grape juices were taken off for like the wick because they found so much sugar in it. Because there was so much.
Right. For the Shabbos menu, I don't allow, I say you can't make Kiddush on a place of grape juice. That's 20 times more sugar you have the entire week. You're going to pass out if you have that.
So what do you make Kiddush on?
You make Kiddush on dry wine, or some people can't handle dry wine, so they have rosé. And on Shabbos morning, we have scotch, Baruch Hashem.
Scotch is very high in calories. I mean, a cup of scotch, 600 calories.
I don't believe that's the case.
What does that mean? I don't believe.
I don't think scotch has 600 calories in it. I think if you Google how much, I had actually one of the chaver Google how much calories in an ounce of scotch. There weren't really that many calories. You guys could Google it yourself. An ounce of scotch. We're not drinking a cup of scotch, first of all. I mean, maybe on pedium, that's it.
65. 100 calories, it says, for 1.5 ounces of scotch.
Okay. 100 calories. You can, just one of the things we really just try to give, one of the things we try to give over in our program is that, first of all, someone made up calories, and a calorie is not a calorie, and meaning not all calories are equal. It's a big difference if I had 2 rugelach versus 12 ounces of meat, which have approximately the same amount of calories. So it affects you differently. And I never mentioned the word calories in the whole diet plan, except to tell people it's not about the calories.
Okay, let's go to the next live question. You're on.
Hi. So thank you so much for, I mean, the whole concept is huge. I wanted to know what your feeling is. Rav Tursky Zatzal, championed the acceptance of like people with alcoholic issues, but he also championed people who are dealing with overeating issues. And I guess I would say abnormal eating, either compulsively overeating or compulsively undereating. And so there's a whole school of Overeaters Anonymous, and from people that are sort of are in those meetings, because they work in a world of not understanding it. And so the concept of fits. I'm just curious what your feeling is about the whole concept of Overeaters Anonymous and how you deal with and what your whole approach is to those that are dealing with eating purely with the struggle that they have with emotional eating and approaching food from like that emotional component.
Right. I'm not super familiar with Overeaters Anonymous. I mean, I've talked to people in it, so I know they have like very strict portion controls, but they come out and say like, I'm an addict, I need help. So here we have a different form of coaching. I say, I believe in you. I know you can do it. You're a yid. You're so good at being so disciplined in so many things. So then I know you could do this also. So it's just a different approach. You know, it's like a different mindset. I'll tell you one of my favorite stories that everyone knows the story, but this lady, she wanted to go on a diet. And all good Jewish diets start on Sunday. So Sunday she went on a diet. But then she did great for the week, and she even did great on Shabbos. But the problem was Motzei Shabbos, she was invited to a dairy Malau Malka, and all her favorite desserts were going to be there. And so she knew if she went, she was going to fail. But she also wanted to go because whatever, she had to be there for her friends and whatever it was. So she went to the diet, to the Malau Malka, and she stuck to her diet. What does she do? She didn't become super strong overnight. She didn't break any addictions. Simply, she had a piece of salami before she went to the Malau Malka. And what does that show? It's not really about your discipline or you're an addict, you're not an addict. It's about what standard you have for yourself. So she had a standard for herself that she eats cheesecake when she sees it. But she had a stronger standard for herself that she's a from lady. And if she has a piece of salami, ain't no way she's having cheesecake before 6 hours are up. So I believe in everyone, and I know they can do it. So it's a different approach.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to continue the conversation only because I think that, Rav Tursky Zatzal, really felt very strongly about how Overeaters Anonymous could approach. I don't think that there was that much of an issue with the community struggling with food that anybody said, okay, let's see what Chazal has to say in detail and create something the way that you are and the way you're presenting it. And I just want to commend you for what you're doing. And I would love to see how the two worlds could combine and could meet somewhere in that way.
It's possible. We'd love to continue the conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to the next live question. Hi.
Hi. So what I wanted to ask is I've done several different diets in the past, and I've had some success and some not. In the past 2 years, I'm really struggling with losing weight. And I did reach out to some kind of nutritionist. She does through analyzing your blood and seeing what your body does does digest properly and what it doesn't. And her approach is like not to combine in one meal proteins and carbs. I was wondering what your take on that is.
I agree with that 100%. And actually, we do not combine a significant amount of carbs and protein. I mean, if you're having carbs in the meal, you would only have a very small amount of protein, if at all. I agree with that 100%. And I've been doing that myself since I read about it from this book called, I got it from Tony Robbins. He got a book from a book called Fit for Life. And it gives you so much more energy. Just not combining carbs and protein is a huge game changer. So I agree with that 100%. It's a huge component to our diet plan. Huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
and she
saying. I've been doing this for a while. When I honed in on the pasuk that says lech of a biker baser ve'erev, I was like, Chazal had it all along. They want you to separate carbs and protein.
Except for I get that. Right. Interestingly, that she told me to do proteins in the morning and carbs only for dinner.
Okay, so I'm going to strongly disagree with her, but I'm not a nutritionist. I'm a kiyur rabbi, so I have a pasuk. Lech of a biker, baser ve'erev. So I'm gonna respect.
Reuven's gonna win every argument because the Reuven just says the pasuk and then case closed. Right. So you're never gonna win.
No, I'm saying you can try other diets. It's just the Chazal diet, so we have to go with the pasuk instead of the nutritionist.
So Reuven, are gonna say back, Chazal didn't know about Twizzlers.
But if they were living now. If Chazal knew about Twizzlers, they would have ostered them, in my opinion.
Reuven, this is just my opinion. Tell me how off I am. I feel like the last 50 years, like, even the sugars I ate as a kid, like, today, everything is dripping in sugar. I don't know if people realize it. Like, America right now, basically, everybody's a diabetic or is going to be a diabetic soon because even the meat is dripping in sugar. Everything is dipped in sugar. Yeah. Every food has sugar in it. We're talking about, like, real processed sugar. So we're eating a tremendous, much more sugar now than we ever ate in history. That's number one. Number two, you have to realize the amount of processed food there is much more. There's much more fast food, processed food, sandwiches, bagels, pastry. 50 years ago plus, it wasn't that level. Yes, it was bread. Right. It was bakery. But not like today a normal kid is eating for breakfast a bunch of white bread, which is garbage, with a bunch of danishes, with a bunch of sugary coffees, the drinks that people are drinking in the stores, all these coffees and lattes and this, it's all sugar. It's not really a coffee. It's a little blend of coffee with whipped cream and tons of sugar and tons of sweetener, tons and tons and tons. When I got rid of sugar, Reuven, I started learning to redevelop a taste that we never had because you drink coffee without sugar or tea without sugar or the cancer poisonous, sugar-free mixes.
Right.
Those are all supplementing that sugar bug that you have. So you're never really drinking coffee. You're drinking sugar. My friend used to make a coffee. He used to put a half a cup of sugar and then put coffee in. I was like, oh, it's so nice. You drink sugar and you add a little like coffee taste. It's like you're really drinking sugar. You're just putting coffee for the taste. So I feel like in the last 50 years or whatever, making up this time frame that it just, we're eating so much. And if you look and you go to the doctor, people in the younger, they're like, everybody's like borderline diabetic or diabetic. They say America is like an epidemic of like diabetics because there's so much sugar. Everything is loaded with sugar. Also the candies the kids are eating now, most of the candies are like the red dye and they're full of like, it's like put sugar. Like when I was growing up, you didn't have a candy you squeezed in your mouth. It was just liquefied sugar.
Right.
Agree? Disagree?
I could not agree more strongly with you. And it's worse than that because this is mamish giving people Alzheimer's, diabetes, heart attack. Sugar is like number one and the processed bread and everything is number two, the processed carbs. And I feel like I really feel it's like my duty to make the from people aware of it. And I don't know a better way to do it than to, you know, so combine it with Chazal, you know, cause it's, the combination of like knowing what you have to eat, knowing the food that are good for you versus the foods that are bad for you, plus knowing the times that Chazal want us to eat and the amounts, you know, again, breakfast, there's no breakfast. We have a small amount of food that's past shachar. You're not supposed to have your first meal till around chatzos. So it's like a whole different way of being. So I'm so happy, by the way, that you discovered this. And then you're able to lose a ton of weight. It doesn't have to, I just want to get in. It doesn't have to be my way. You know what I mean? But an Ozempic doesn't work. If it worked, I'd say fine.
No chiddush to Kegel or anything. Common sense. Sugar makes you fat and processed carbs make you fat. That's not his chiddush.
Yes, but it must
it's not
be
like he's coming at every diet. Every diet is the same thing. Every diet is you got to stay away from sugar, and you definitely can't eat cakes and cookies.
Yes,
what I'm understanding is that what you're taking is redefining that, and you're saying in the morning we're going to make you a nice little breakfast, which is going to be very light. Your main meal is going to be lunch and then a dinner, and you're going to make the meal plans, and you're going to learn that this is what you eat, and your body gets full of it. You're taking the same concept, you're just taking also, I don't want to use the word portion control, you're taking food time controls and saying these are the times to eat, and this is what we need to eat during those times.
Right. But on top of that, we're also developing someone's why. Because then ultimately, like, wow, I feel so good right now. I don't want to go back to feeling bad. Right? That's a big why. Everyone has their own triggers. And what both Menachem and Rabbi Naftali said that were on the program, they said, hey, I was able to overcome my body's desires. Now, I'm not telling them to do that. Like, I'm just guiding them. They're the real heroes, and they're able to overcome their desires. They're able to be koivish because that's just because they know that they want to feel good, you know, or they know that this is what they're supposed to do. And it's great to watch them overcome this. It's really beautiful, but I'm not telling them to do it. They're just really mamela doing it.
Just a few more basic questions. When it comes to bread, are we talking about eating regular white fluffy, you know, bread, or we're talking about like eating like healthy, you know, like a shibolim, or I'm familiar with what's it called? The other one, Zico bread, these type of breads we're talking about.
So I do know what you're talking about, and I always, you know, American wheat.
Not like, you know, the Wonder Bread that you could like put peanut butter on it. Peanut butter is natural. It's healthy.
Right. So since the body can handle some bread, and I don't want to matriarch people too much. So basically I said you should eat the bread that you like because you're only having one or two slices a day anyway. So you're going to be, and that's really all the carbs you're having for the day. If people ask me what I recommend, they have in most stores this, French Italian bread, which is actually not even grown in America, the wheat, or if you can get your hands on Israeli bread, Israeli matzah, shabbalim crackers. So I recommend all that because foreign wheat is much better than American wheat. But at the end of the day, I want people to eat what their favorite foods if they're allowed, and you can have any bread you want. Ezekiel bread, the bread that Hashem wanted Yechezkel to eat, that was a klala, and the guy went and made an industry out of it, right? Hashem said, I want you to feel the suffering of the people. You're not feeling the suffering of the people, so eat this terrible bread. So then the guy go and make an industry out of it. You don't have to eat Ezekiel bread. It doesn't taste good.
You're saying you can eat regular white?
You can eat regular white, whatever bread you like, because we're only having one or two slices a day. So whatever bread you like, you should eat that. That's our plan.
Let me ask you another question. People are asking over here. Just one second. Somebody else was asking a question here.
We have to talk about maintaining.
What's your feeling with, you know, all the sweeteners that we put in, all the Sweet and Low, Svivana, all these sweeteners? They're all, one second, clarify. They're all sugar free, right? They have no calories basically. But why is it not good to use it?
For two reasons. First of all, they're actually not food. So that's why they have no calories. It's not good to use for two reasons. They are designed to keep you hungry all day, right? And then on top of that, they build up, you get this gut bacteria, you just crave more and more of it. So
doing the same thing as sugar without the sugar.
It's not as much calories as the sugar, but at the same, or it's just differently detrimental, but it keeps you hungry the whole day. And like you mentioned before, just like when you take the sugar out of your coffee, it resets your palate. So when you take the sweeteners out of your coffee, you start appreciating what a blueberry tastes like, what a grapefruit tastes like, what an orange tastes like. You completely reset your palate. So it's quite amazing. It's really
good. I just want to say that since I stopped eating sugar, when I eat a grapefruit now, it tastes much sweeter. It's like you can get a sugar high from it. It's like your body is so not, it's a different type of sugar. It's like hard to explain, but it's much better. Amen?
By the way, Usher, I could not have picked a better host than you. Like, it's like everything I'm saying, you're agreeing with. This is great.
Just put it out there. I
right, Menachem came on
50 pounds, and basically the diet was a very simple diet. I did a calorie deficient because I did a lot of exercise. I was able to eat 2,800 calories. I ate 1,800 calories a day, zero sugar, zero processed carbs. Right. So, and then also another thing was I was a bit, I don't know about you, but when you're done with dinner, you're done. There's no more food going in your mouth. When the kitchen closes at 6:30, 7 o'clock, you gotta close your mouth because even if it's healthy food, when you go to sleep with food in your stomach, this is my understanding. You could disagree. Tell me. I don't know. It's fine. You could have a different opinion. Is that your body, your stomach, if there's no food in your stomach 3 hours or 2 hours before you go to sleep, it starts eating the calories in your stomach when you're sleeping. if there's any food in your stomach, less than 2 hours before you go to sleep, the first few hours when you're sleeping, it's eating the food in your stomach. So you're never like burning calories while you sleep because people burn calories when you sleep. So people that go to sleep, the worst thing you could do is have a big burger and you have with French fries and have a big Shabbos Suda with 17 dips and then Baruch Hashem, I feel good, go straight to sleep. The whole night your stomach is working and not only you wake up tired, you wake up feeling so because your body didn't sleep. You slept, but your stomach and your body didn't sleep. What's your opinion on that?
I agree 100%. After our second meal, there's no more food. You can drink, obviously, but you can't eat. And we're not counting calories, but what happens is you start becoming fat burning when you stop eating and you don't eat for a few hours. So then, and especially if you haven't had carbs in a long time, right? And you have very few carbs on our diet in the first place. So instead of burning muscle, you start burning fat. And that's why people who go on our program, they literally lose the fat just melts away. And we're having like close to a pound of protein a day, the guys. So they keep their strength and they keep their energy and they just lose the fat. And it's like, it's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see their energy levels. It's beautiful to see their facial structure change. Baruch Hashem.
So also when people are heavy, tell me if this is correct or not. So people's faces are like very heavy and their body's heavy. There's a lot of excess water in their body. Because all the calories and the sugar keeps it in your body. So when you start losing weight, the reason why a lot of weight sheds very quickly, and the 10 pounds right away, whatever it is, or afterwards, is that when you start getting rid of the sugars, you start removing carbs, your body like flushes out all this extra liquid that's in it. Is that correct?
It's totally correct. And it's more than that because this is something that's mamish dangerous. It causes sleep apnea. The people who start this program, one guy called me a week into it. He said, his wife said, for the first time in years, he hasn't snored and she had a good night's sleep. So I was like, amazing. Increasing shalom bias is my second job. So I was very happy. So like literally the fat around your neck and face is pusha dangerous.
Yep.
And we saw what happened with COVID. I mean, it's not a big secret. The people who are fit like suffered like infinitely less during COVID than the people who are overweight, unfortunately.
Okay, there's a lot more questions. I think we should go towards the closing part. Maybe we'll take one more question. And
let's talk about maintenance.
Let's talk about that.
It's hard for people. First of all, you know, I'm never going to be able to eat pizza, you know, the Danishes and all that. It's hard for people to even think that, you know, the new lifestyle, how could they do it for life? So that's step number one. What mindset change would you tell a person? And then we'll talk about the maintenance.
Right. So first of all, again, I try to get people addicted to feeling good rather than eating whatever they want. And I always tell them when we get to the goal weight, we have a maintenance mode that's like a little more makel. You know, we still have the regular mapeya, obviously two meals a day, hashakras, but it becomes a little bit more makel. You actually have a chiyuv in our world in your maintenance mode to have pizza once a month. Or pizza. That's my favorite food. To have your favorite food, whatever it is, once a month, you have to have it. Milkshake, pizza, whatever, rogalef, whatever it happens to be, you have to have it once a month. After you have it, you're like, you know what? I can go another month without it. And it becomes like not something you don't feel like, oh, I have to cheat. There's no cheating. There's just things are mutter. And in the maintenance, most certain things are mutter. Also, I just want to add, we haven't discussed this much. We actually have a Shabbos plan. Okay? Because if you go on even a good American diet, what do you do for Shabbos? If the guy had Shabbos, they'd all be 500 pounds each. You know what I mean? So we actually have a Shabbos plan. We have a Yom Tov plan. Pesach was great. We had guys losing weight over Pesach, you know, just because it's just, you know, you eat less carbs. So we have plans for everything. Also fast days. So we have what to do before and after the fast. And so usually people feel horrible after the fast. They pass out. Our guys, after the fast, they're full of energy. Like, wow, this is great. I can go to the Beis Medrash. It's a completely different way of being. So in Baruch Hashem, we have a maintenance mode. Hashem really sent me this information. I feel very, very grateful.
I started eating gala.
Gala, yeah. That's like the best food for you. It's a congealed bone broth. What could be better? It's so good.
Isn't it bad for your arteries?
No, totally not. By the one of the things people, when they join the program, so after they always...
Oh, I'd love to have a cardiologist on with you. Healthy in your arteries. That makes sense.
They're right. Of course, because there's nothing better than bone broth for your arteries. So fat is good for your arteries. There's all we've been talking about cholesterol for the last 50 years, but still they've actually proven no correlation between lowering cholesterol and unclogging arteries. The two things have nothing to do with each other. So everyone's numbers get drastically better once they join this plan. And I always tell them, make sure you tell the doctor you did exactly what he told you not to do. You had lots of good fat and protein, and all your cholesterol and all your other numbers improved. And the doctor says, okay, great. I'm just happy that you're doing good. Keep doing what you're doing.
Okay. Nachmi, anything else you want to ask?
What else? Rabbi Kegel, I think we've finished. We mentioned everything. What else?
I want to mention thefitjew.com as a plug. Come join our next Kehillah. We just had one Sunday. We'll have one in about 3-4 weeks, Nachamol. And it's been really a privilege to help so many people, like really take control of their life, take control of their eating, not be meshubah to rugalah, not be meshubah to food, use food as energy, eat the way Chazal wants us to eat. And, again, my goal is 100,000 fit yidin.
Only 100,000? That's a sweet, that's a low goal.
But we start with that, you know, then we can reevaluate.
Okay. Let's go to the closing segment. That's okay. Okay, so first of all, big yashkech, Reb Reuven Kegel for coming on. Yes, do you eat kugel or you don't eat kugel? Or it's kegel?
Well, first I would eat kegel, not kugel. It's actually for Taimeha, Arab Shabbos, you can have some.
Okay, so first coming on, Bichizik again, this is a tremendous thing. I said this already for a while that, you know, we do a lot of programs on mental health and being healthy. At the end of the day, physical health is very tied into your mental health. So, you know, when we eat not healthy, our mental health definitely affects. There's nothing better. If somebody's even in a depression, they start losing weight, start eating healthy, it could really bring them out of it. It really, being fit and eating healthy and having some self-control is really makes a big difference in our lives. And as we get older, like, you're going to suffer the pain one way or another, whether being sick or trying to be fit and healthy. So it might be hard to have the coffee without the sugar, and it might be hard not to have the Danish in the morning. But eventually you're going to pay the price for that, right? We gotta at some point say, we see it's not healthy. And there's just so many people that are just on so much medication to maintain, you know, because they're not dieting, they're not cutting the sugars, they're doing all these things to maintain. So we really have to try hard. It's a real insight. It's really hard. So we need chizik and everybody. This is a long battle, but hopefully we can get some control over it. So please be part of it. And whether you join Rabbi Kegel or you just do your own health or whatever it is, your own exercise, you find your own mahalach, there's plenty of self-resources today that you could really help yourself. The reason I personally believe that people, it's good to join, whether it's this diet or any program, it gives you that push that we need, that coaching. I think his program, Menachem, said one of the biggest things is just the people giving each other chizik and posting and texting. Whatever it is, you know, do that, but take your handle of it. Okay, so thank you again for joining tonight. Everybody, next Sunday night, May 4th, Rabbi Tzvi Shev will be on. From the Shmooz, the topic wasn't confirmed yet, but please join us. He's amazing. And everything is recorded on MenachemBernfeld.com. If there's any questions, you can email coachmenachem@gmail.com. Tonight's share is 228. If you want to listen to the phone lines, we have it on the phone at 732-905-9011. And thank you to the Lakewood Scoop and to Ellie and Ariel from Five Town Central. And to Chai Lakel from JCN for promoting it on all the programs. And we're going to go to the closing now. We'll just recap everything. I'll go first, Menachem, and then Reuven Kegel. So again, like I said, I was just in the middle of saying is that it's hard, it's a lot of work, and it seems, personally for myself, before I went on my diet, I was just like, I felt like I had to do it, and I just felt like I couldn't do it, like it's not going to work. But ultimately, it works. Ultimately, if you eat healthy, and you don't eat garbage, and you don't drink sugar, you're going to lose weight. That's the way your body works. So you're going to eat less, whether he wants to talk about carbs or not, your body needs a certain amount of carbs to stay at a certain weight. It's a mathematical calculation. You eat more than that number, you're going to gain weight, you're going to lose, you're going to eat less than that, you're going to lose weight. So if you're supposed to eat 2,500 calories a day, again, these are all estimates, and like Reuven did say, there's some, eating a piece of steak and having 4 Danishes might eat equal the same amount of calories, but ultimately the body processes different. When you eat protein, it goes through your body much smoother. When you eat carbs, it stays, sticks. So if somebody eats a big steak, they might feel full that night. The next day, the body processes it much quicker. When you eat 2-3 Danishes, it'll stay in your body for much longer, and it just compounds and compounds. So if you, at the end of the day, if you exercise on top of that, not only that's good for your mental health, but it also creates your metabolism to boost, and it also gives you much more calories. So if you technically only need 2,500 calories a day, if you exercise 500, 600, 700, 800 calories worth of exercise, your body needs 3,200 calories. So based on those mathematical numbers, if you exercise and you eat less calories, you're going to compound the effect of the weight loss. But again, all these things are hard and it's commitments, but I think that works like that in everything in life, right? We need to be work hard and have to commit on it. And it's a lifestyle change and it takes working. And I happen to agree. I think that Ozempic and these things are the quick fix. But as we all really deeply know, it's not going to really root out the problem. Not to get into the whole what's going to happen down the road and, you know, what could have caused. That's all cute. We don't know. But itself, unless you're planning on being on Ozempic for the rest of your life, when you stop Ozempic, you gain it back plus because your body just gets used to it and you lose a lot of muscle. So it gets replaced with body fat. And that's not a mahalach either. So that's my speech and I wish you all luck on this journey that never ends. And hopefully we are, Ruben, I don't know if you'll live longer because I don't know if that's, I don't know if you could say that because Hashem runs the world and everybody has a certain amount of time and we have to believe you can eat whatever you want. If you're going to live to 70 years, you might live the same amount of years, but you probably live healthier years with less medication to get you going there. You'll live a more fulling year. It's very different when a guy gets out of bed and he's like, it's hard for him to lay out of bed and it's hard for him to put on a shirt and the buttons are popping and, you know, it's just hard to breathe. I used to walk up the steps, not me, but I mean, with other friends, you could barely, I walked up two flights of stairs, you could barely breathe. Now you could run, you learn how to breathe, you learn how to, your body, your cardiovascular health is, you know, when you exercise is so much better. So that's that. I'm going to turn to Coach Menachem. 20 pounds less, Coach Menachem.
Wow, Oshie, you sound healthy.
That's sound amazing. Healthy, yeah. Yeah.
Like Rabbi Kegel said, it's Hashem told us, when Shmartim Moed and Hashasecha, we have to do our status.
The problem is that Menachem, the problem is that there's so much garbage food out there. Every our culture cultivates the restaurants and the pizza stores and the fast food. And even the regular food, like even you go to like a grocery store where you buy regular food, it's mostly takeout food. It's prepared. And even like, you know, we're forcing ourselves to eat constantly processed and not healthy foods. So there's no point. Like almost when you want to eat healthy, you have to go to like that weird section, the fruit and vegetable section. It's like who shops there?
Yeah. But let's talk about, you know, what they say. If you would see the Yetzirah, the coolest tactics, it wouldn't be so hard, but now you don't see it. So you feel like it's you. Let's talk for a minute. How much money they spend in that marketing, the food, putting it on the shelf and just trying to get you. The same thing is with technology. They know how to get you. Now it's a fight. Now if you're not aware of it, you don't want to think about it. It's too hard. You know what's going to happen. So you become conscious and yes, you got to walk into a store. There's a lot going on, but just imagine that they're all out there saying, shh, don't make noise. We're going to get him. Just, oh, he's going closer. He's going closer. Oh, he's taking it. He took it. He ate it. Oh my God. It worked. That's what they do. This is what the world is, you know, now.
No, Menachem, I'm here.
So we have to figure out what do I need? What's good for me? You know, and what does Hashem want for me? And then there is the Yetzirah and then there's all those tactics. So here we are, you know, we want to figure out what do I need? What works for me? I should feel better. And the whole world of self-awareness is something that I love. It's the world that I live in. Just being aware of how do I work? Am I in control or something else inside of me? Hashem created us emotional beings. And like I said before, when somebody is b'shas constantly, when you're emotionally charged, very hard to make decisions. So when you see that and you're in front of it, it's going to be very hard to decide not to. But if you sit down before, you know, with a schedule, with a seder, what can I eat? What am I not going to eat? So then you make sure it's not in your house. Before you go to the store, you know what you're buying. You prepare before you go to work. You don't just take it out of the pantry. It's more conscious living. So what am I doing? You become more conscious. And it might be hard for many. But, you know, I would share that when I started this diet, not only it helped me become more controlled, more aware, in the food, the book that I mentioned before. Okay, let me tell you something. This is a challenge that somebody threw on me. Said, you can write a book in 7 days. Now, I'm aware of how these things work. I can start and then I have all these emotions saying it's not good. Stop. It's not going to work. It's not perfect. And I can see all those tactics that are trying to stop me. And I'm becoming aware of, wait a second, you know, I want to do this. What's the next step? It doesn't have to be perfect. I Rabbi Kegel, I give you, you know, it's in your schos to have this book out.
Really?
More the clarity, and it really, it's the coaching world. A person by himself, in other, in Chavish Mata Atzmoy, a person to get himself out of his own beliefs and his own ideas, it's very hard. Just getting a good friend or somebody, you know, to bounce off your ideas will help you to think straight. So this is something that I got, you know, what do I eat? I got to say that I was losing weight. I felt good, felt great, and then took it to other areas in my life, and we can use it all over. So thank you very much. And the bracha is, it's not easy. You're gonna find yourself in times that you're going to feel, I'm hungry. I just have to eat. And you sit down, take a deep breath. You take a drink and you sit down. I would say journal, because that's when the stuff comes up. You don't want to become aware of those stuff. So you know what? Let's just eat. It's okay. You just ate. You have enough. Your body doesn't need it. You're not going to die. But I just feel hungry. It's okay. You're okay. Let's go. What's going on? Probably something else bothering you. So you learn that the control, and it's not always easy, but after a few days, it gets easier. And I'm not going to say that I never slipped. I'm not going to say that I didn't find myself eating without thinking. Yes, I did. But we go back onto the track, Baruch Hashem, and after supper, the kitchen is closed, usually. And it works, Baruch Hashem. So thank you very much. And like we always say, Siyata Dishmaya, Tefillah, we need Hashem's help, but He put it in our hands. Hashem asks us, what do you want? I'll help you. So thank you.
All right, Reuven, before you're closing, just give me your email, because everybody keeps on asking for the women's emails. I posted the men,
yes.
What's the woman's email? I'm going to post it in the chat.
Fit Jew Ladies, FITJEWLADIES @gmail.com. FitJewLadies @gmail.com. And the coach will get back to you.
Okay. Now you're closing. Tell everybody, after an hour and a half here spending time, we have this beautiful conversation. What's the final pitch? Not for your program, just for people to lose weight and be healthy. The final pitch.
Well, first of all, I want to say that, it's been an honor to be a guest here. Yeah, I'm humbled that I've been able to talk to and help so many people, including our very own Coach Menachem. And I always tell everyone that I'm just the guide. You guys are the heroes, because you're doing the hard work, right? I'm just telling you what, when, trying to help you develop a why. But at the end of the day, you have to do the work. You have to have your neshama convince your guf that the right thing to do is to eat properly. And guess what? At the end of the day, your guf likes it as well. And you were saying, we don't know how long we're going to live over here. That's for sure. We have a halacha, the neshmartam, to guard our health. But at the same time, the pasuk says, "Orech yomim v'shanim." Why does it have to say both? Because I don't know how many years you have, but if you eat right, you enjoy each day more. Each day becomes longer because you mamish enjoy it more. So it's a real honor to be able to help Yidden and Kirov, obviously, and here the Kirov of the Guf that we're doing through the Fit Jew. And the main thing here is you really want to know what to eat that's actually good for you, like Rabbi Asher talked about, and I agree with everything you're saying. The calories, I don't think, is so important. It's really what you're eating more than the calories. And of course, you can't. There has to be some portion control. There's no question about it. Then also, Chazal actually tell us when to eat, not three meals a day, not whenever we want, not like Karna Golem, right? But when to eat, and then you don't want to be meshubit to food. You don't want to be the kind of guy say, oh, I see a rugelach, I have to have it. You have to be stronger than the rugelach. And you also want to use food as an energy source. Food should be energy. It shouldn't be something that puts you to sleep, like when you mix carbs and protein together. And finally, like I always say, mamela, you're going to lose weight and you're going to feel great as well. So my biggest dream is for all the yidden to be fit, and then we should greet Mashiach as fit yidden. And I think it's very, very, very hard to do this in America. Because the amount of excess food and the amount, everyone's trying to make money off of you being fat, being chronically ill, being lethargic, being unhappy. And I think that the real thing we need to do is take it back, own it, eat like Chazal want us to eat, and be fit Jews.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi Kegel, for coming on. And everybody should take the chizuk from tonight's shiur and take a step forward. And hopefully we'll continue Menachem on our path of helping people physically and mentally. And Rabbi Kegel, hopefully a lot of people join and hopefully a lot of people get the chizuk and we are healthy. Everybody have a wonderful night. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.